Hello, my name is Paul Sank, also known as Retso Grasso of LifeNet News and Radio. We're talking with Dr. Sidney Lamb. The question here is, can you give us a neurocognitive angle on second language acquisition and, in turn, what that says about the best and worst ways to teach and learn second languages?
This is not an area that I specialize in, but the neurolinguistic angle is pretty much in agreement with what a lot of people realize nowadays. The best time to learn a second language is really early. In fact, it's great to have a child learn two languages at the same time, you know, age 1 to 5, something like that. This is in keeping with what we know about the plasticity of the brain. The brain of a young child is very, very plastic. Everybody has plasticity in their brains at any age, but it's greater in children. Great children have a huge amount of flexibility. We know, for example, if a person, say, age somewhere in his 60s has a stroke, he loses the ability to whatever that part of the brain is damaged controls, ability to speak maybe, or you move his right arm or something like that. Now, most people never get that back. By contrast, now little kids don't have strokes, but sometimes they have to have surgery. For example, if you have epilepsy and it's originating in a particular part of your brain, sometimes they try to cure that with drugs, but if that's impossible, then sometimes they have to resort to surgery. They have to cut out the area of the brain where the seizures are originating. When you cut out some area of the brain that might be considered vital for some function, say Broca's area for language, if you do it on a very young child, that kid will grow up speaking just as well as any other person. But if an adult has a stroke that affects his Broca's area, he's going to not be able to speak anymore. You know, it takes a little time, of course, for the child to adapt, but learning is just so much better in children. There are cases on record where a child has had a complete hemispherectomy, complete removal of one hemisphere surgically, and that child is still able, after recovery, to function almost normally. You have to look really closely to know that he's had any surgery at all. Look closely at his behavior. I mean, most people wouldn't even notice it. So the child's brain is extremely flexible. It's the same token as involved in learning musical instruments. If you want to be a really great concert pianist, it's really good if you can start learning piano by age 6 or 7 or 8. If you wait until you're a teenager, it's really difficult. Same way with languages. There's a great case, Henry Kissinger. You know, he speaks with a horrible German accent. He came over to this country as a teenager. I think he was maybe 15 or 16. He's got a younger brother who came with him, but the brother was younger, 13 or 14. He speaks English perfectly, no accent.
Does neurocognitive linguistics give you any ideas about what might be the best ways to teach or learn?
Oh, the best ways, yeah, okay, there's another question. Yeah, the best. I'm not so sure this is directly from neurocognitive linguistics, but the best way, this is what a lot of good language teachers are doing nowadays. You just immerse yourself, and you have to use the language in communication. Now, what neurocognitive linguistics has to say that supports that general view, that's what works. Studying grammar, learning paradigms and stuff like that, that doesn't work. Now, why is that? From a neurocognitive point of view, we see that there are two kinds of memory. There's declarative memory and there's procedural memory. Declarative memory, which heavily involves the hippocampus, that's learning about things. So that's what's involved when you learn rules of grammar or rules of syntax or paradigms of inflection and stuff like that. But what you need to speak a language is procedural memory, and this is connections in the cortex, not the hippocampus, but the actual connections involving Brannigan's area and Broca's area, and those connections to the angular gyrus, which gets you to the meanings of nouns and so on and so on. That's what you need. When you're actually speaking a language, you're using the knowledge of your language as procedural knowledge. It's not declarative knowledge. From the neurocognitive point of view, we can justify what good modern language teachers have been telling us about